right. Hello, everybody. It is, what day is it today? Wednesday. Hold on. Turn on the music. Wednesday, November the 6th, the day after 2024, the day after, remember the 5th of November. And hi, everybody. It's Fakeologist Show. It's Wednesday. That means Jim Rizzoli and Fake Nukes Phil are in the house, and they both have their own channels. They both do sort of what I do with FakeoTube. They really pump out the videos. They're both good truthers. I like to talk with them. Fake Nukes Phil, of course, his main specialty is rubber babies and media fakery, though, mainly just showing all the fake footage. And Jim Rizzoli, of course, is the number one Holocaust researcher probably in the world at this point. And welcome both of you guys. How you doing?
Good. Happy to be here. Yep.
Yeah, and I want to thank Jim again for saying, he said some really kind words about the Fakeologist on your walk and talk. And I do watch Jim's walk and talks. They're every single day where he talks about cats in Texas and truth. And you did a really kind video. So I put it over here on FakeoTube. Everyone can watch that. And not only did you say it, but you expressed it in dollars and cents, value for value. And you made a very generous donation, one of the bigger ones ever. And I really thank you and appreciate you for doing that. So thank you so much, sir.
Well, you're welcome. Happy to do it.
I know you're very, you're very humble and you don't really want much thanks, but we thank you very much. And of course, Fake Nukes Phil, you're also a patron of the site, not to be discounted. And I really appreciate that as well from you.
Oh, absolutely. I do what I can.
Everyone gives whatever they think it's worth or what it's worth to them. And I personally usually give a dollar or two a month to different websites because I don't want to get it out of control. So if I support 25 websites, I don't want it to get into the hundreds or even thousands. So I keep it at a low amount. I'm sort of mixed. Sometimes I give a couple bucks a month or sometimes I'll just give a flat fee depending on how they're structured. But anyway, thanks a lot, guys. So we'll get right into it. Obviously, the talk of the day is the election. What do you guys think?
Well, it was very, very entertaining, I must say. But I think that I wanted Trump to win, okay? Because, again, entertainment factor, he's not going to be any better for us. But I really do think, though, that he's probably going to try to accomplish some things better than he did last time. And, you know, because last time he said he was going to do a lot of things. He never did really anything at all, except the vax situation that ended up harming a lot of people, I think. But
I agree.
Anyway, other than that, I really think, you know, this time around, he's going to have, a better chance of hopefully getting some things done, or he's going to be, some people are going to really come against him and cause problems for him, or if not kill him. I don't know. Who the hell knows? I mean, there's some crazy people out there that hate him. So, I mean, it could happen. I don't know, but I did want him to get in. I didn't vote for him. I don't vote anyway. I'm not registered down here. So anyway, I'm happy he got in, and I'm really happy to see all the crazy people now that are, you know, the Democrats that are just they're so mad and so pissed about it. And that's what I wanted to see. I hate to say it, but I wanted to see these people just cringe, and they're cringing right now.
I agree. Although they seem to be cooling off. I was kind of hoping they'd do a little bit of a rally at the Capitol, just do what Trump did the last time, because I thought that was pretty exciting, even though we know at the end it was full of fakery, right, Phil?
Oh, the January 6th. Yeah, well, Kamala already had a speech there. She said, "We are standing at the very site where Donald Trump and his supporters tried to overthrow democracy." And it was some kind of so I guess we won't hear about that anymore now that Kamala, I guess, is going to fade into the background. But yeah, you know, I think they got something planned for Trump. I don't think he'll make his entire term because he's too old. They're going to stage some kind of a assassination or some kind of a drama during his tenure, but
oh, he is the actor in chief. He's the best actor that's ever filled this role. So I think he's up for anything personally. I think he would roll with any psyop or any fake event or whatever. The thing that really annoyed me and probably annoys you guys is one of the many things he said in his acceptance speech was he brought up the stupid Elon rocket. I thought, oh, great. Oh, we know this guy's no truther, but whatever.
that was very cringe worthy. Yeah, he said that the tower grabbed it like a baby in his arms as it came back down. Yeah.
I thought fake Nuke Phil would be throwing things at the screen when he heard that.
Well, I was laughing my ass off when he was saying that. That was just hilarious.
So Trump probably won't reopen or look into 9/11. He's not going to release the JFK files, those imaginary files.
He'll release some non-important files JFK, but it won't reveal the hoax that it is. And he's one of them. It's doesn't make any difference. You know, I just don't like these. I don't like the Democrats. They act to me, they're elitist, and they the people I'm surrounded by who actually work with their hands, you know, those people are drawn to Trump. And so I don't know where these people get their money. When I'm out there walking at the dog park, they all have all this rich money, and they never worked a day in their life. And
inheritance, maybe.
Yeah, inheritance or whatever. They married into it other things.
Why don't you ask them? Say, how do you guys get to live the lifestyle you do? I mean, they might be happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think fake news Phil needs to get out with his microphone. Like, look at this kid. I kind of like this kid here, Nick.
Yeah.
I know he's a little sort of a Trump influencer. I think these guys are paid to go out there and spread the Trump word. Myself.
I think so. I bet you Mark Dice is. I bet you.
Okay.
He is. Anybody that put good stuff out about Trump, they probably got paid to do it. I mean, I'm not saying that's bad. It's just, you know, that's just the way it is. You know what I mean? But I will say this about this election. Of all of the elections, and I've never really been involved in many elections. The only election I voted was 2016 ever. That was the first time I ever voted. Really? Now, I think this election was probably the best I've ever seen in how Trump and his people handled it and what they did. Because again, we really don't know what went on behind the scenes, but boy, oh boy, a lot went on behind the scenes that a lot of people probably don't even think about it. You know, I mean, think about look how he planned his fake shooting. Okay. That was all planned.
That would have to be highly rehearsed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was really planned well. Every step of everything he did, okay, with the last, year was all planned out strategically to where it is now. So you got to give them credit. And the Democrats, the problem with the Democrats, they thought they had it all wrapped up all because, you know, of Biden or whatever. And they didn't realize, no, you didn't have it all wrapped up.
I kind of thought they'd throw a little surprise and put Kamala in and really make everyone mad. But obviously they have a lot of work to do with Trump, because it looks like they got the Senate, and I think they might even have the House. So that gives them pretty much carte blanche to do whatever he wants if he controls the party. Right. But he was bringing up these people here in his speech. If this plays, there's a couple people behind the scenes that he was trying to introduce here. And I thought it'd be interesting to find out who these people were. I can't remember if it's at the beginning of this acceptance speech or what, but there's a few people he named. He said, oh, you're not normally shy, but you don't want to come out and talk right now. I can't remember. So it would be interesting to find out who these backgrounder people are. Or these guys here.
Yeah, these guys.
I don't know. Did you watch this too?
This wasn't expected, but
this woman here.
Ice baby. We call her the ice baby.
Yeah, she didn't want to talk.
I don't know who she is. She a Texan or
no,
what?
I believe she ran his campaign, didn't she?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, who is she, though? Is she an old political hack or what? But he definitely had good people running his thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, she's the Kellyanne Conway of this campaign?
Oh, more than that. Well, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. She didn't.
Kellyanne Conway is when he ran his first campaign.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Anyways, well done. It, you know, it speaks well for 78-year-olds for this guy to have this kind of energy. And even if he's not hopped up on drugs, I still think, I don't really think he is. I know he's been accused of that, but I thought he really did a good job in terms of entertainment. He has high energy for a guy that age. So that's sort of good news for seniors that don't think they can do stuff.
Well, I was talking to Diane about this today, and, you know, because I know how I feel and I'm only 72, but see, you have to understand, stress is a big thing, and he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to cook for himself, drive a car. All his clothes are pressed and given to him. Everything is done for him. So he's got less stress in his life. So being 78, you know, he can, you know, do well because he doesn't have to do all the other things. And, you know, we have to do, you know, cook for ourselves. We got to clean. We got to do this. We got to do that. He doesn't have to worry about anything. Some people take care of his money. They take care of his everything, you know. So that's the difference between, you know, Trump being 78 years old. But, I mean, he does look like he looks good. And hopefully he'll, you know, be able to last this 4 years if he can, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree. And Nico Tramas is giving us trouble saying, two of the people at the cutting edge of figuring out this realm are still completely fooled. How are we fooled? We know that Trump's an actor, and I think
what's his point? What's his point?
We're actually just talking about what everyone else is talking about.
He said I went down and voted. I didn't go down and vote. I spent 7 minutes filling out a ballot, and I put it in the mailbox.
Yeah, and you know what? Okay, I admit I voted too. I'm an American, so. I voted as well. I mailed it in.
I mean, you know, that's literally 7 minutes of my time.
And that's actually before I was a truther. I actually wanted to be able to vote because I got tired of just standing on the sidelines. So there you go. So am I still engaged in the system? Yeah, but I can still be a fakeologist at the same time, can't I? There's nothing in the rule book saying I can't. I play the rest of the game. I pay my taxes. I go to work. Isn't that being part of the system?
Yeah. Yeah, we pay taxes. I know that's the worst thing we do, and we've got to drop out of that. But anyway, that's a different subject. But
well, yeah, that's a much trickier. I'm not a free man on the land. I, you know, I register my car so I don't get pulled over, that kind of thing. I know your neighbor, Phil, didn't.
Yeah, you know, and he. So what happens is every 3 years he gets pulled over and his truck gets impounded. He's got to pay an $1,800 impound fee, plus he's got to repay all of the back fees for the registration. He gets court dates, and he goes there and he says, I'm under duress. I'm here under duress. There was no victim in my crime. And anyway, at the end of the like four court visits, the judge finally dismisses it. But at that point, he's spent all this money and all this time, and he's paid more to the system. So he's not sticking it to the man. It's like, it's like, well, you got a good story there, but you're not sticking it to the man. I mean, they're just laughing at you. They're getting more money out of you.
Right.
And
where are you going to live if you're out of the system? They own the whole planet.
Yeah.
Where are you going to hide? There's nowhere to hide. They got the whole thing covered.
Yeah.
So you can be in the system, but be a little more aware. Like, for instance, I know Democrats I'm related to that are so freaked out today. They want to hang themselves. They think that Christ is going to, or Christ, they think Trump is just going to blow up the whole world. I'm not kidding. And I can't get through to them.
Right.
So I'm not in. We understand these guys are just actors. We understand he's the president of a bankrupt corporation. And Jan Erik, my buddy, brought it up really good. He said, who runs a company that's bankrupt? Who is actually the person running it? Mm-hmm. The person running it is the creditor, you know, the bankruptcy guy. He tells the president, if he hasn't dismissed him, what to do. The president has to go to him and say, can I do this? You need permission when you're in bankruptcy. And I understand the United States' corporation is bankrupt for the third time as of 2001. So we're still in bankruptcy proceedings that never end. So like, yeah, we're aware of all that. I get all that. I think you guys do too. So we know that he has to go to the bank every time he wants to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people don't understand. And I love, cause I get some of these guys on BitChute that make these comments, because I know some of them, or one of them anyway. Mm-hmm. He owns a farm. All right. So he gets to grow his own food, and you know, he thinks everybody should be doing that. It's like, you don't get it. Not everybody can grow their own food. Not everybody can live on a farm. Not everybody can do that. And he feels that he has broken away from the system. And I'm saying to myself, I don't know how the hell you're breaking away from a system if you're on a farm. If you have farm animals, you got to pay for feed for the animals. Right. You got to pay for your cars or trucks or all your equipment. You got to pay taxes on these things, you know, if you're registering them. You're part of the system. There's no way you're not part of the system. And you can say that you don't want to be part of it, but some way, if you got a bank account, well, I don't have a bank account. Well, then what do you do? You put your money under your pillow. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Everybody, we're all slaves. Okay. Even, we're all slaves.
Even Amish voted this time. That may be what flipped Pennsylvania for all we know.
Yeah. That's what they were saying. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. I personally wouldn't, I personally would get a tractor. I wouldn't drag my implements behind an ox. It's too much work, and plus you step in its exhaust all day long. Right, so I'd probably get a tractor, but they want to do it the hard way. God love them for it. But yeah, you're right, they're in the system and they sell their food to the English, as they call us. And they're so they're half in the system. So I dare any of these people that are making fun of us tonight, how far out of the system are you? Probably not.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that about the voting. Now remember, I didn't vote, but I wanted Trump to get in. Okay, but again, for different reasons than most people. Okay, I had a very selfish reason, and it was to stick it up the ass of the Democrats, and that was it. Okay, so I was happy that he got in. But here's the thing, you know, that I noticed about the voting. Okay, he won the electoral. I can't even say that.
The Electoral College,
okay, and then he won the popular vote. Now, the popular vote was very interesting because last time, remember, the last election, okay, I watched the whole thing up until 3 o'clock in the morning, and so Diane and I went to bed, at 3 o'clock, and Trump was up by 200 votes. I mean, two million votes.
Right,
he was up. And I went to bed. And I get up in the morning, and he lost. And I'm saying, how the hell could this happen? So now, Trump gets you know, both sides. Now he gets the popular vote too. So now, I think that's important, because if he didn't get the popular vote, the Democrats would go crazy. Well, he didn't, you know, he didn't get he didn't get the popular vote, so that means most people didn't like him. You see, they would have had an excuse to come against them, but they have no excuse now against them. Nothing.
Yeah, it's a mandate. Trump is operating under a mandate now, and he's got maybe the Senate and the House. I mean, it was a landslide victory. I was not expecting it to be such a landslide. And so,
me neither.
They've got something up their sleeve, and you know, it's going to be just more drama, but it's going to be scripted. It's not going to be organic. It's
Well, this person here on Twitter said, the Trump PSYOP is so multi-layered and undeniably genius. The establishment has successfully conditioned both parties to focus on Trump for all the wrong reasons. He's not Hitler like Democrats think, and he's not a savior like Republicans think. He is a very convincing, consuming, and charismatic character who will absolutely be selected this election so he can continue to distract supporters of both parties. She wrote this a couple days ago. Meanwhile, the technocrats and global cabal who fund them will move forward with implementing all of the policies we've been successfully distracted from. They will end the Fed and replace it with the CBDC. They will control the borders with biometric surveillance. They will implement a voter ID that will become your digital ID. They will present the Everything app, which is going to be called X, that will manage your social credit score. So there you go. Yeah. And he already said he's bringing in Elon. and that he'll be the one that brings in the everything app, which will be called the X app, I think, after Twitter or whatever you call it, X.com. And people are going to ask for the voter ID. You're already going to need, I know they've tried this for 10 years now, I think, you're going to need a real ID to get on an airplane to travel domestically in the United States.
Yeah.
And all the people that are complaining about the illegals, which they're bringing in, you're going to get biometric surveillance where you're going to use your face to basically be your ID. So,
yeah. And, you know, and Trump can get away with this because he's the one who got away with forcing this to take the vaccine. See, if Hillary would have been in there, nobody would have, we would have said, F you, Hillary, we're not taking a vaccine. But that's, and so Trump would be in a position to get away with this.
Yes.
And I noticed it interesting. Rachel Maddow was talking about how if Kamala wins the election, then the United States government has to break off every contract with Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is a traitor now because he supported Trump. Well, now Elon Musk is going to have all this power, right? And so we've been calling him a fraud from the beginning. I mean, for years now, we've been calling Elon Musk a fraud. And
Trump was calling him a genius, saying we don't have enough.
Yes, he was.
We're running out of geniuses. We got to take care of this guy. So you know he's going to go front and center. The only kind of positive thing for us anti-vax types is that maybe, what's his name, Kennedy, RFK Jr.
Yeah.
If he does get control or get any say-so in the Health and Human Services Department, maybe he can start throwing a stick in their plans to have lockdowns as part of enshrined in law. So
right.
Enforce. You know, that's the only thing I could care less about overall is if you have to have one of their poison shots to be able to be in the system. And if they tied all that in with the digital ID, then I guess there'll be doctors and whatnot you can pay off with crypto or whatever. But that's sort of the thing I'm kind of worried about.
That was interesting when Trump was talking about RFK Jr. He said he's going to be in charge of the health department. He's going to be able to do all the stuff he wants. Well, RFK Jr. has been out there preaching against the vaccine. But that goes contrary to what Donald Trump brags that he's the father of the vaccine. And RFK Jr. And so,
well, I don't know if that's true. RFK, he believes there's vaccines that are helpful.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does. He's a two-faced guy too.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, because I don't really pay much attention to him, but I have heard through the, internet stuff that he actually feels that vaccines, the only thing that he wants is they got to be safer, okay? Which is bullshit, because all vaxes are poisons. That's what it is. They're poisons. So there's no way you're gonna make a safe vax, because it's like, how are you gonna make a safe poison? They're all poisons. So whatever. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't know what direction he's gonna go when he gets in there, but I don't think he's gonna do away with vaxes. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and he said that RFK Jr. has to just leave me alone about my oil. I'm going to control what I want to do with oil. And it's like, well, because he's going to drill, and I guess that's how they're going to explain why maybe our prices will go down, and maybe our groceries will get cheaper, and they're going to say it's because Donald Trump is drilling more oil. I'm not sure about that.
Let me play this video that I put on FakoTube. This is a little older. I'm not sure how old, but this is our buddy, what's his name?
RFK Jr.
And let me just turn up the volume here and play it. So here we go.
Minister Farrakhan has asked me to address the issue of vaccines and African-American and vaccine safety. I want to start out by saying this, and I want to say it emphatically. I am pro-vaccine. I have always been fiercely pro-vaccine. I had all six of my children vaccinated, and I believe that we ought to have policies that encourage full vaccination for all Americans.
There you go. Can it be any more clear? Is there anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I remember 10 years ago listening to this guy, and he had such a bad Parkinson's-like stutter. I could barely listen to him. And somehow during the past 10 years, he's almost talking normally now. So I want to know what happened to his stutter that he had 10 years
ago. Well, no, I know what happened. I heard the person explain all that. He actually had, I think it was a medication or something that that actually helped him or whatever. But he did get help with that. You're right.
Okay, well, I've never seen it in someone before where their speech impediment has cleared up.
Oh no, he went somewhere or whatever, but he got fixed. I mean, that's the best they can do with him.
Well, these Kennedys do have these magical doctors. Yes, they do.
Yeah, but they do have something they said screwed up his vocal cords. And ironically, I think one of his sisters who was talking the other day has the same vibrato in her vocal cords. So whatever happened to both of them.
So I don't remember how he got that. I can't remember the discussion. Yeah.
But it is strange. I know it does sound like it is getting better. So do you think it's fake then, Phil?
Yeah, I think the Kennedys have a skill at voice inflection.
Okay.
Yeah, they can.
So you think that's, I mean, that's a lot of work. It's kind of like the Alex Jones gravel voice, which that would be a lot of work to fake. Cause it hurts.
when you're getting a thrill out of what you're doing, because they're getting a kick out of this when they're deceiving us.
Phil, you know, the reason why everybody hates you, Phil, is because you make statements like this. Look at I don't know how you could fake that. I mean, do you know how it would be to fake a voice like that?
It would hurt. Well, it would hurt.
I've seen a lot of ventriloquists who've done a lot of voice manipulation.
Well, I mean, you're welcome to your opinion, but I'm just saying, look, there's no way in hell you'd want to. I mean, let me put it this way. What would be the purpose of even faking it?
Well, what was the purpose of the Kennedys doing all this stuff? I think the Chappaquiddick thing was probably fake with the...
They're an acting crew.
Yeah, they're an acting crew. And so why would they do that? Why would what's his name? The Kennedy,
Ted?
Well, Kennedy. Okay. So again, look at I think it's great that everybody has an opinion, but okay, let's look at Chappaquiddick. I mean, that was not a pleasant situation for him. The woman died in the car, and he, you know, they find out that he left her there to die. I mean, it was so he faked. He faked someone. Okay, so are you telling me that she didn't die? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not.
I almost think it's a blackmail thing. Honestly, I think that people that run the place, they run these, they do these hoaxes, these things. They say, listen, we're going to do, if you don't listen to what we say, if you don't do what we want, we're going to show you our power. So they run an operation saying you ran this woman off the road or you fell out of your, whatever, but we're going to let you off. But we're gonna run a fake trial on you if you don't behave. I think it's sort of a blackmail thing.
Well, that could be, but how about looking at it this way? Mm-hmm. Okay, the Chappaquiddick thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about if she knew something and this is what his way of killing her? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I kind of look at that more than the other.
That's sort of the traditional thing. That's a
I may need to dig into that because I don't trust the Kennedys on anything. They've faked too many things. And so I may need to go into YouTube and look up the family reaction.
I think you're going to have to let's see the evidence. Right.
And so I want to see the mother of the girl that drowned. I want to see the mother doing her interview and showing some emotion. Did she do an interview? And if she did, what was her emotions at the time? Again, we're going to be looking for the crisis actors like we do in all these events. And if
did
the
you
family
see the interview of the woman that the mother that allegedly her 12-year-old was murdered by a couple of Venezuelans, she was, I can't remember the name, Hungary. The only reason I know is because this guy, Nick Shirley, this kid, he went and interviewed her. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, come on. Now they're getting you to do videos with these crisis actors. This is when I really got irritated watching this kid, this one here. So this woman here is supposedly the mother of a 12-year-old. And if you just, I asked my wife, I said, would you behave like this if your daughter was murdered, brutally raped and killed just a couple months ago? Would you be talking like this?
What do you know about the catch and release laws that were in place at that time and if they are still in place?
I believe they are still in place. You know, we've got election going on right now, and that's why it's super important to vote because our votes matter and we can't.
She's pushing voting.
Yeah.
Like, your daughter was just raped and murdered.
Is that her daughter on her t-shirt?
This is the mother.
So whenever you see the t-shirts, it's a hoax.
And that's a high quality t-shirt that they have made up, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I think, oh man, you know, just stick to your man on the street. But they must have told him, you got to do this interview. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
You got to promote this. She's promoting to get out and vote.
Yeah, that's
would that be on your mind?
Yeah, it makes no sense. No,
come on, get out the vote. Like, why do you think they're pushing everyone to vote? By the way, is it just to get everyone on board so they basically have your consent to do whatever they want?
Well, they're making you think you're doing something. Okay, that you got to understand how things work in society. You create a situation that you make the people believe that if they do this, that they're going to help the situation. So obviously that's, you know, they feel they're part of doing something in a positive way. So, you know, that's why people vote, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a consent thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
Bill? Well, yeah, I don't know. Some people say that when you sign your ballot, you're taking the mark of the beast. And I just don't see it that way. I mean, I don't think so. It's a useless endeavor. It doesn't mean anything. You throw it in the pile. These elections are all rigged anyway. And it's just what it is.
Have you ever noticed with this election here, which I thought was interesting, because we already knew what happened last time, right? All the problems they had. And as far as I can see, I haven't seen any problems here.
Right? No. Yeah, exactly. Okay. How'd they fix them all? It's like,
it's not that. Have you thought of it this way? And again, I'm not saying that this happened, but have you ever thought that maybe Trump, he ended up getting involved with the corruption of the voting system to make it go his way, and everything worked just right? In other words, last time it worked against him, and then he said, shit, man, I ain't gonna let this happen again. And then he gets his crew and all his people all on board to make sure that it wasn't gonna happen again. In fact, he'd have control of it. Now, again, I'm not saying that happened, but you know, I'm not saying it couldn't happen either. You know,
I heard the story last time he told people not to mail in vote. I think I heard that today.
That's right. I heard that today. Yeah.
They said don't mail in vote last time, but maybe he didn't say anything this time that I know of.
Well, I just think it's odd. Don't you think it's odd that the Democrats they're not even making a complaint about it?
Not yet.
Yeah, I think that's odd. That's what I said in my message this morning. It's odd that the Democrats are not, they should be screaming that this thing's rigged, but
they say they're taking the high road.
Oh yeah.
That's what Kamala said. By the way, she was late for her own concession speech today.
Yeah.
And I noticed, did you watch the thing in Philly the other day, her last speech, where she told people that a couple people were going to come sing, and the thing was supposed to start at 5, and she didn't show up until, get this, 11:33. I love the number, 11:33.
Wow.
8 hours later, people are standing outside in Philadelphia waiting for this woman to show up. I thought, whoa, that's and half the people left by then, apparently. So,
well, that's what kind of bothered me about what happened here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Last night I'm watching this, you know, and by 11 o'clock I'm saying, oh no, Trump, he's got this, you know, he's got it really good. And then I'm looking at the map. They put the little map. They're showing Pennsylvania. Now, they're showing Pennsylvania. It's 95-98% red. And they still didn't call it. They didn't call it until like, what, 2 a.m. or something like that? Right? I mean, it was like so stupid. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that Kamala, she bailed out of there. I think she was gone probably by 11 o'clock, 10 or 11 o'clock. And she didn't even have the balls to come and address the people that were standing there all day, probably. All right. She didn't even have the balls to say, thank you so much for you people. Look at, you know, looks like things aren't going in our direction, but thank you so much for supporting me. I mean, to me, that is just, I mean, look at it. I hate the Democrats, but I mean, to do this to your own people, you old crazy people. You're not going to even recognize them for being there. And she left and went home. And Hillary did it the same thing last time. Right? Remember? She left too. She didn't even stay.
Yeah.
These people don't give a shit. They don't give two shits about their people. It's all a show.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And here's Pennsylvania. So obviously every city in the country is probably Democrat for sure. Yeah. But all the rural counties, no, they're all pretty much Trump. That's the way it is, I think, all around the world, by the way. It's not just America. Yeah. All the cities are usually very left-wing.
Yeah.
And everything outside rural is usually right-wing. I guess it's just because when you live with people, live on top of people in cities, you get kind of a little more communistic, really, in your approach to things. Because you got to share roads and elevators and crowded restaurants, so... That's my take on it anyway.
Yeah.
But there's your
that's the map I was looking at. There it is. Yeah. I mean, it's all red. And you're telling me he didn't win? I mean, this is crazy. You know?
Yeah, but the cities have all the big populations. Like look at the numbers in Chester County here. So
But he had 90, it was like 98% of the vote was in. So right. I mean, how much vote didn't get in? I mean, you know what I mean? It makes no sense. The cities, wouldn't the cities be the first to get the votes in? Because they're bigger and they got more people working to do all this stuff. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they should, yeah. But they were quite close, I guess, in many cities. 50 in Philadelphia County, it was, well, I guess it wasn't. It was about 60-40. But as soon as you went outside, it was more like 80-20, 70-30, that kind of thing. Anyway, interesting.
Yeah.
We're not saying we... Anyway, I know. I think the numbers are for the most part real. I've worked a polling booth, and I know where I live. It was what I figured it would. And I actually looked at the ballots. I scrutineered the ballots. So, but it's the mail. I guess it's the mail-in wild card that you can't look at as easily. Yeah. It's easier to fake.
Well, no one's contesting it, so I guess we don't have to worry about it. So there you go.
All right. So what's next? What are you guys talking about on your channels? You both have channels. Jim, you made me watch The View. I hate watching The View.
Oh, and I never.
I did watch the clip, though. I can't stand these people. But
they're horrible.
I thought you wanted me to see something there, but it was it was full of cringe.
So. It was full of cringe.
Oh, yeah. I can't stand Whoopi. Whatever that creature is.
Yeah, she's out of her mind.
Joy Behar. Yeah, they're all just... Oh.
See, these people are mentally deranged. Now, I don't know if you saw... Did you see the young Turk guy, Yankin, whatever his name is? Yankin.
I saw him lose it, yeah. I got a screenshot of him, and it's my encapsulation of the meltdown. And,
he went berserk on the Democrats.
Where is this? Is this on this page?
It was on the Young Turks.
Yeah.
Which one is that, Phil? This is your page.
Well,
I don't have it on my site.
Yet.
I didn't put it on.
Oh, you guys didn't put it up? Okay.
I saw other people was talking about it, and they put up a picture of Anna Kasparian and what's his name? The guy he was just having a meltdown, and it was great to see. And that's, I think, why most of us wanted Trump to win, because we wanted to see these people cringe. And, you know, I got enjoyment at the dog park this morning when everybody was just silent and they were just stunned. And
they were in mourning, huh?
They were in mourning. And because they really think this stuff is real. They don't entertain any conspiracy theory. It's all.
But the bottom line is all the corporations that run the country, they hedge both sides. They have both sides covered. They give equal money to both sides.
They're
pretty nonpartisan. I think it'd be crazy in any business to not cover both sides. And any business that does pick a side is also equally crazy, because you know you're going to lose half your customers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think you should keep your mouth shut if you're running a big business.
Right.
Mm.
Unless you don't want to make money. So it's same with both sides are backed by the same war machine, because war is the biggest business in the United States. And that's the most protected industry, the most socialist industry. So these big corporations, they run the U.S. So they cover both sides. So to me, I didn't get worked up either way. Either way, it's going to be the same old, same old. And Trump isn't going to call out any of the fakery. And the Democrats definitely are not.
Well, I know the first thing Trump's going to do when he gets in the office, guess who the first person he's going to fire? FBI director.
Oh, is that right?
Well, think about it. The FBI came after him like crazy. And he's going to clean house there with the FBI, believe me.
I didn't even think of that because but even his trials, I was looking up his trials today. I was trying to figure out what was the felony, and the felony was that was forging business records. So
I don't even know.
I heard that Daniel's story is real. So this is this is more theater is my point.
I heard that he lied about the value of his properties. And to get a better loan from the bank. And I happen to know that you can't do that. As an appraiser, you get a neutral view of how much a property has cost. You don't go to the owner of the property and say, hey, how much do you think your property is worth? You know, that's totally not what an appraiser does. You go in there and you do a cost analysis. You compare it with other properties in the area of similar size and similar upgrades. And, you know, so a bank does not get tricked by Trump by how much his property is worth. If the bank got tricked, well, then that means it's the appraiser's fault. It's not Trump's fault. And so how they're able to blame Trump for lying about the value of his houses, well, that doesn't make any sense in the business.
Oh, here it is right here. Here is the breakdown. So the charges stem from a scheme to conceal hush money payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels in the lead up to the 2016. So most people don't even know this. They just think he's a felon. The charges relate to falsified business records created to disguise reimbursements to Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, for the $130,000 payment he made to Daniels. So these are sort of magic numbers, 13. And here's the breakdown, 11 falsified invoices, 12 falsified ledger entries, and 11 checks with false notations, all recorded as legal retainers. 9 of these checks were personally signed by Trump. 9, 11, 11.
Okay.
This is hoax code for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sentencing was July 11th, 7/11. So this is probably all more fakery. You don't go to jail for fake criminal charges. I think they were fake.
Yeah. And they're all just minor stupid stuff anyway. I mean, look at all businesses do this stuff all the time, but they, let's say they're true. Oh, so they come out after just him. I mean, this is going on all the time with companies and how you really think they report everything straight the way it really is, that they don't.
11 checks. So when you write a check, you put a little note. That's what a notation is, saying what it is when you get the check back. So we called it a legal retainer. Okay, that's probably actually accurate for what he was doing. You know, seriously.
Yeah.
So is that it said here it was a Class E felony charge that is possibly punishable by jail. Question is, has anyone ever in the history been convicted in real life, been convicted of something like this and gone to jail? So this is why this, with the numerology, if you believe in that, like I do, the hoax coding, I think this is all a phony baloney story just to make.
Yeah. And the same goes with Hillary. Remember they were saying that
she 33,000 emails.
33,000 emails.
33.
And then it was perfectly actually. And they made such a big deal about that for like 5 years on the right-wing media. It was a long time they were just harping about her emails.
It never ended. It was like the Russia thing with Trump.
And there was a nothing burger, just like this is a nothing burger. And so they get us all hysterical and wound up in these nothing burgers. And they're all actors anyway. None of these charges are real. And they're all criminals. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Hillary's a criminal, Trump's a criminal, but they're criminals because they're perpetrating larceny. They're perpetrating a fraud upon the humanity. That's what they're guilty of.
And Hillary Clinton was not charged with any crimes related to her email controversy. So there you go. But that was a big story, and it was such a big story, and it lasted for so long, you would have thought there was something up with it. But of course, you're right, there wasn't. Mm-hmm. Same with the Russia thing. So they create all these distractions while they're implementing their biosecurity state. Because if no one is going to go along with this, while they're airlifting tens of thousands of Q jumpers with immigration, I think that's why they run these stories. There must be five stories ready to go for Trump on day one. Do you think?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
They've already written the stories. They're already ready to go. And as they're making the digital ID, as they're making the biometric surveillance as part of the digital ID, as they're making the everything app this person speculates that'll have your social credit score, there'll be some story where Trump did this or Trump did that. I mean, I think another reasons they use him and wanted him in is he goes along with all these stories. He just rolls with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between a real person and an actor. I don't think a real person would put up with it, would they?
Oh, of course not. Yeah. You know.
No.
He would be. So we'll see if Donald Trump tries to clear his name when he's in office. Or I guess what I heard is that they're just going to not even pursue these charges anymore.
Yeah, I heard that too. They're just going to let it die.
Yeah, so.
Which is not how real life works, I don't think.
No. And it's. So, I mean, it should be apparent to everyone at this point, whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right, that all this is just theater and is a big distraction. And
by the way, if anyone wants to call in, call in. I think, John, you called in, but I missed your call. You can call back again. All right. Okay. Nico Tramas is finally agreeing with me. He says, exactly. You nailed it. The entire point of Trump and the other politician is to be lightning rods for the decisions that are made by our slave masters. Yeah. Well, that's always, to me, the purpose of government. They're just sort of the insulator between the aristocracy, the nobility that run that own the place and us. And quite honestly, I don't think the people that run the place, they don't really want us voting. Because this is their farm. I don't think the animals really should be allowed to vote, especially if you think about it. What are we voting for? I mean, what day we line up to go to the slaughterhouse? What would they want us to vote for? And let's not forget, I don't think that even men that did not own property, they just got the vote in the last 100 or so years. Forget the women's story that women could vote. Men couldn't even vote that didn't own property. Mm. So the owners didn't want to hear from the serfs.
That's right.
And that's probably why it's a constitutional republic. It's not a democracy. They don't really want to hear from the people. And it's not, this vote is not in the Constitution. Bill Cooper told us that. It's nowhere in the Constitution. The states can have their electors nominate anyone they want to be president, not the people on the so-called ballot of Republicans and Democrats. I think that's important because that has not changed.
Yeah, people don't understand in the beginning when our country was formed, you had the lords of the land that were appointed by the king.
Yeah.
All right. So in other words, he appointed certain people that he said, look, you're going to go over here to America and in other words, the king owned all of America at the time. I mean, it wasn't like it is now, but anyway, so the king owns everything. He gets these lords, they're called something else, but anyway, he gets these fellows, they're the lords, and he gives them, I'll give you one example. Okay.
Okay.
The whole state of Maine, right? Think about how big Maine is.
Very big. It actually belonged to Canada or Britain at one point. Britain traded a whole chunk of Maine for something else, I remember, because if you look at
here's the thing with Maine. It was owned by one guy.
One guy, yeah.
Imagine he owned the whole freaking state of Maine, okay? And then all these it's not the right word, lords or whatever, owners, whatever. Now, what they did was they partitioned it all off. You know, they just sold huge tracts, you know, thousands and thousands of acres of land to another friend, you know, who's going to be another lord, you know, whatever. And so the people, they just kept doing this. They, you know, they petition the land off. They give so many acres and acres, you know, I'm talking, you're talking thousands and thousands of acres, and it gets splits up more and gets splits up more. But the point is, all the people that owned all the acreage, all right, and then the farmers come in and they pretty much rent the land off of them. And the owners of the land are the ones that really, they vote. They're the ones that have the say. The people, the common person, okay, the farmer, he didn't have any say.
I agree.
Of what happened. And that's why, as time went on in the 1600s and 1700s, that, you know, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. And that's what happened.
And recently, they only gave the middle class a certain amount of money until they got a little too rich. And then they just took all the industry and went somewhere else. Hey, yeah. This is a pretty, who do you think the largest landowner is in the United States?
Yeah, I'm the sure. U.S. Well, government. Yeah.
U.S. government. Yeah.
But right after that, there is a family called the Emerson family. I don't know if they're Jewish. 2.4 million acres.
Wow.
So there are big landowners. I don't know how much 2.4 million acres is, but I bet you that's the size of at least one of the Western states.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of acreage.
So there are big landowners that still exist. John Malone, 2.2. I think he owns a cable company or something. I know Ted Turner, 2 million acres. So, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of people that own a lot of land. And let's be honest, land is probably the most valuable thing you can own, because they ain't making any more land.
Yeah. Yep. And especially where the Pacific is, because that they had all the trees and they cut, you know, they cut down all the trees and
that was money. That was money. That's what Sierra Pacific Industry is. One of the largest lumber producers in the United States.
Yeah. So
that's
big money from lumber. I mean, you got to remember way back in the 1600s, lumber was the biggest thing going on until they started growing their cotton and tobacco and all that. But the lumber was the biggest export, especially the export going to Europe, to England, because England didn't have the trees like they did out here in the United States, America, and they would ship all the timber so they can make the ships.
Yeah.
So that big timber business.
It's still a big business today.
I know.
It's the base of every house. They're wood frames.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I don't think in maybe Mexico, I think they build them by brick and concrete in Mexico. That's why it takes so long. But up here, they throw a house together very quickly, and it's all lumber.
Right.
All right. What else you guys want to talk about before we shut her down here for this post election day? What have you been talking about, Jim, on your channel here? What's your favorite?
Well, I'll tell you what I got coming up. Okay. Tomorrow, I'm going to be interviewed by Jeffrey
Wernick.
Yeah. Right. So 1 o'clock, I'm going to be talking with him, which is going to be very interesting because, again, he's a Jew and he don't normally go out of his range, you know, with goys like me. All right. So
of all the people, why did he choose? I guess you're one of the bigger guys on BitChute.
Well, no, it's not. It's not that. It's just I just happened to come across a video. He was interviewing somebody, and I just thought, you know, I get notifications, I see videos, and I clicked on it, and I saw him talking to the guy, and you know, he was talking about some things, and he was saying that, you know, they're the most censored, this and that, and you know, they talk about things that they want to talk about, things that nobody else talks about. I said, well, then I put a post up on the BitChute channel, his channel. I said, well, why don't you talk about the Holocaust? You don't talk about that. And then he kind of got a little mad at me for it, because I'm actually questioning him on that. You know, like, well, you think you're talking about all the things that, you know, top, you know, articles and videos to talk about, but not really, because you don't even touch this topic.
Yeah, not the big one. Not the big one that you like.
Right. So he basically, you know, I challenged him, and then he called me back, you know. So there you go.
Are you going to ask him? And you're also going to ask him, put the Hitler test on him?
Well, you got to understand, here's what he said to me. He goes, I don't want to talk about the Holocaust per se. I want to just talk about what happened to you that you feel you were so censored by people. And that's going to be good, because I'm going to explain to him how the Jews completely shut me down. And that's what he wants to hear. And that, you know, if I could slip into the other topics too, that'd be fine. But it's basically dealing with censorship on the internet.
Mm. Well, that's good.
And the future of speech and hate speech. That's the future. That's the dark. That's the dark horse of the future. And I think, Jim, you've talked a lot. You think Trump is not going to be a friend on that front.
Well, you got to remember, who's he obligated to? He's not obligated to you or me. He's obligated to the Jews, and he's going to have to do the bidding of the Jews, you know, and they have him in his pocket. So whatever the Jews want, and who the hell knows what they're going to want, right, as time goes on here, they could push some very interesting things, I mean, more so upon us, and we'll just have to see how that goes.
Mm. And one more thing I'll bring up before we go to Phil. I just watched the Bailey's discussion about listeria. What was your takeaway from what they were saying? What did you take away from what causes what this whole story is about?
Well, it's a bacteria. Listeria is a bacteria that's everywhere. Right. Okay, so there's no getting around it. You cannot avoid it. Now, they're making a big deal in Massachusetts. They're taking food off the shelves because a person died of listeria. And so, what are you guys crazy? Listeria is everywhere. Just because one guy got sick because of it doesn't mean that everybody else is going to get sick over it. I mean, it's going to be very unusual if that even happens. So to me, there's something more to this than meets the eye. But getting back to just listeria, again, it's in soil. I mean, no matter where you grow your food, that's where it is. All right. Somebody got sick. What are you going to do? How old was he? You know, it just so happens he got sick. And, you know, they're making a big deal about this. And they're taking all these all this food and destroying it. And I mean, it's just crazy that it makes no sense that they would go this far.
What was your takeaway from what they said is probably the real cause of this recall, of this so-called illness?
What are you talking about? The people that are taking the food away?
No, I'm just what the point was that she made, that she kind of glossed over at the end. She said, what is the real reason why people probably
to enrich the soil that is
from food products, basically, especially industrial created food products?
Well, yeah, that is a problem. The industrial food products, the way they're prepared and made, those are problematic. There's no doubt about it.
And stored. I think the takeaway I got, she didn't really emphasize it enough in my mind, because I just watched this, and it's that industrial food putrefies over time. In other words, when you make a cabbage or a coleslaw, you got to eat it the same day.
That's right.
We don't really have a way to store it and ship it and throw it on a supermarket shelf for 2 weeks, because it goes bad. And eating bad food can be toxic to the body.
That's right.
And it's the listeria that move in to clean it up. They're there to clean up the mess of the spoiled food, which is putrefaction. And anytime things putrefy, they release toxins that can kill you. So it's spoiled food. It's not the bacteria. The bacteria is there to pick up the dead tissue that's killed by the spoiled food toxins. It's not the bacteria.
Yeah. And there, you know what that reminds me of? Okay. Why do they want to ban cigarettes?
I guess they said people are getting sick.
Yeah.
No, but what's the thing in cigarettes that is the problem?
Well, they say nicotine.
Yeah. But nicotine is actually good for you. So it's not the nicotine that's the problem. Okay, nicotine is actually a supplement of whatever you want to call it that actually is helpful to your body. The problem with cigarettes, and they don't go down this road, it's all the chemicals that they put in it, and that's why people get sick from smoking.
Right. The nicotine, additive. What are the chemicals there? The preservatives or the things?
Well, they get you this. There's probably 50 to 100, who the hell knows, chemicals that are in cigarettes. And when you're smoking a cigarette, that's what you're taking in. But if you could just take nicotine is not going to be harmful to you. It's actually good for you. Isn't that funny how they kind of completely reversed this whole situation to make people believe that the nicotine was bad? You know, see, look at this, highly addictive substance, you know?
Well, yeah, but here are the carcinogens. At least 70 chemicals in cigarette smoke are known to cause cancer.
That's right.
Arsenic, benzene, cadmium, yep, formaldehyde, polonium-210, lead, ammonia, hydrogen cyanide, acetone, toluene. Okay, so you're saying it's these are
that's the problem with cigarettes.
Those are the problems. Okay.
Yeah, but they're not touching that. They're making it look like nicotine is the problem, and it's not the problem.
Over, you know,
getting
4,
back to Listeria.
Chemicals.
Yeah. Oh. And that's how it usually is. They always blame something else for what's killing everybody, and they avoid what really is killing them, you know what I mean?
All right, I'll put that link in there. Okay, so those are some interesting topics. And Phil, what have you been talking about lately on the Fake Nukes Phil channel?
Oh, just the usual stuff, Gaza and stuff. Everybody looked pretty healthy back in 1933 in Germany there. Everybody was fit. Everybody was healthy. They were keeping the boys separate in Hitler Youth, and they were keeping the girls separate in their... And so they didn't have problems with abortions because they were keeping the girls and the boys separate during those years. And
is that a video you did there?
No, it's a video. I've uploaded the Europa series a year ago. It's in my playlist. I keep it up there. I recommend everybody watch the Europa series. And it talks about how life was. And you get a lot of good home movies of... We have thousands of hours of home movies from the Third Reich. And so, you know, they didn't have conversations like this about poisoned food. They were just living a good, clean, and honest life. And things were good. The streets were clean. There were no garbage. There was no people living in tents. And the trains ran on time. And everything, all the clothing, all the children were dressed in fine clothing. You can tell they all came from good homes and their mothers took care of them before they left the house. Even the country kids, they looked always well kept. And so all these problems in society seem to have been alleviated during those years. But then we killed those people, and now all of a sudden we have all these problems. And so it's very striking to me. And they'll never be able to get away. They'll never be able to destroy all those thousands of hours of home movies that we have from that time period. And so we'll always be able to. The sicker our society gets, the more pronounced and amazing those home movies are from almost 100 years ago, where those people looked like they were living better than we do. And that was almost 100 years ago. So. And it gets, you know,
Uki says Europe, the last battle seems like propaganda. I think Uki is down in South Africa there, so he's not buying it. Okay. By the way, Lynn and I were talking about Jonestown. I think there's a thread on the fakeologistforums.com.
Yeah.
What's your take on Jonestown? Because I think I listened to a fairly convincing author who wrote yet another book on Jonestown. When I tried to figure out what author it was, I found out there's over 85 books written on Jonestown.
Okay.
I'm just, so do you think the whole, like, what part was fake? Do you think he had the actual encampment down there in Jonestown, Guyana? Was that real? The Kool-Aid mass suicide of 900 people, was that the fake part? What do you think was the fake part?
Well, the corpses laying around do not look like they died from cyanide, because cyanide is a very violent death. But many of the corpses look like they just peacefully went to sleep. They're all laying face down and they got their arms around each other. You wouldn't have muscle control to do that as you're dying from cyanide. And then, of course, there's the shooting at the Port Katuma airstrip. And you have Jackie Spear that was there. And she has a real whopper of a story, what happened to her. And Tim Reiterman, who's also that guy right there, he never gave an interview because he didn't want to be cross-examined about the impossibility of his story also.
Right.
And this guy, Vernon Gosney, he was one of the ones that wanted to defect from Jonestown. And he was a police officer for a while, and his story just didn't make sense. And there's the LL guy, the Lanny Lakeman.
Larry Lakeman, yeah.
Yeah, and
so you think it's
all cast of characters.
Yeah. Do you think there was an actual cult down there that was going on, or that?
I think there was a cult. I think it was, they all made money. I think they all got paid out for this little stunt that they did. And,
so they all got, it was sort of an acting troupe.
And some people say, well, what's the purpose of the stunt? And well, Lynn has her theories.
Were there any laws passed?
So here's the truck. So here's the there's one cameraman, and he was the first one to get shot. And notice how his camera fell. His camera fell pointed straight at this truck where they see the gunman getting out. Isn't that convenient?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't end up pointed at the sky.
It doesn't end up pointed at the sky. It's
perfectly framed on the shot.
On the tractor bringing in the shooters. Yeah. And so that's a big red flag right there. And so, yeah, the more you look into it, here's Jackie Spear. She's been shot 5 times and she's been untreated for 20 hours and she's got a smile on her face. It's like, well, you'd be unconscious, but you wouldn't be smiling for sure after 20 hours of not receiving medical care. And so,
Lynn said it was anti-Christian propaganda, I guess.
I said it's anti, because they're making fun of religious people who go to church. You're a bunch of Kool-Aid drinkers, you know. In fact, that became the meme afterwards, you know, you're a bunch of Kool-Aid drinkers. But, you know, I'm not big on people that go to church either, but I'm not going to make fun of them. If they want to do that, that's fine. But Lynn had a list of things, political things that came out of it. And it could be true also. And probably her idea is better than mine. And I just see things that are impossible with this story. That's what I see.
And I thought the CIA was involved in all that.
Well, of course, yeah, the CIA was also involved in the JFK assassination. The CIA is involved in the 9/11. The CIA is involved in all these fake events.
They are the Catholics in action. They're sort of the main coordinator of all these acting troops.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Jeff Berwick must be following you. Oh, that's interesting. Jeff's got a huge channel.
Oh,
what was he talking about? I wonder. Okay.
How can you tell in the comments?
Yeah, somebody left a comment for you in that. So
who was this guy? I don't know. I've never heard of him.
Jeff Berwick is a huge truther guy, and actually, he's really been going off against the Jews in his last couple months worth of videos. So he's a very large.
Is he on YouTube? Is he a YouTuber?
No, he was kicked off. He's on BitChute. I'll put a link.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah.
He does walk and talks. Actually, he's been doing walk and talks for a long time. Yeah. Very similar to what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think you'd enjoy his stuff. He spends a lot of money producing his videos. He says he spends $150,000 a year.
Wow.
Because he pays someone to put them together. He does the walk and talk, and they put in clips of what he's talking about, which is a lot of work. So he just pays someone to do that.
Yeah.
And
I think YouTube people do this. I bet you they pay people to do stuff too, because you see, you know, all these things are in their videos, and you know the people aren't doing this themselves. They got to get someone else to do that, I would imagine.
Well, you know the time it takes. It takes a long time to make a video.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why I just do an audio and talk about stuff. But if you're throwing clips in, yep, and you got to line it up, and I know the hours you spend on it. Yeah. If you have to pay someone, it's going to cost quite a bit of money, and that's what he does. So he's not really a fakeologist, but he does talk about a lot of the same topics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he also pushes his newsletter, because every single video he says, this may be the last video, but you should get the newsletter and it'll help you if it's not the last video. He's one of these guys that says the world might end by next Tuesday. He doesn't even push it out very far. So obviously that's just marketing. He's just creating the sense of urgency that you better buy the newsletter. It's only $20 a month. Otherwise, you may not have the solution to surviving this world. That's the part that aggravates me.
Diane sends out a newsletter. We don't charge anybody anything. It's like, this is what we do. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not here to make money on you. We're just here to give you the information. But
this guy is. He's got all the solutions in his newsletter. But pretty much, I did subscribe for a year. And pretty much everything he talks about in his videos is in the newsletter, so you don't have to read it. Yeah. But he is selling newsletters, and he has been accused of being a pump and dumper for a couple cryptos, one of which I put a little bit of money in, not enough to care about. And once he promotes it, your money goes in, and he takes it out on the other side. So it's not good. I mean, this is a classic thing that's gone on for generations, but now it's with this thing called cryptocurrency. So you got to be careful about these guys, honestly. So
I followed Jeff for a long time.
And, oh, did you?
I would watch, and it's his little chihuahua that he would walk.
Yes.
I forget her name now.
Lucy. She's dead.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Did Lucy die? Oh,
well, you got to tune in to 3 months ago if you want to see that. He's got a new dog now. He's got about 12 dogs. So,
okay. So, yeah. And, you know, he was edgy, and he would take you part of the way through the PSYOPs, but he doesn't take you all the way. And
no, he's promoting Gaza. So that would aggravate you as well.
Oh, yeah. So that's maybe why he's following me, because he wants to see if I'm getting any traction. And of course, he can see that I'm not. And so he doesn't have to worry about me. And
he says it's the biggest genocide ever. So him and Max,
the biggest Max genocide.
Oh yeah, yeah. Him and Max Egan. So there you go.
Yeah,
they're on the same page. So you know what? I watch it because there's occasionally something that's interesting that I'll grab. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like they just talk about different things. Like Jim on his channel, he'll talk about something that I never heard of. So I mean, that's to me the point of it. Just bringing all the different information out. Mm-hmm. And then trying to figure it out ourselves. That's the best part of watching different people on the different channels, I think.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Then once they teach us how to think, we just go on our own and we can do it ourselves after that. I thank Jeff for teaching me how to think for a little while, but I'll take it from here.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take it. So. Now, did you guys find the BitChute move to the U.S.? Did they move their servers? Is it any different or faster? You guys are big uploaders.
Well, I would imagine. I would imagine they had to move everything. Because if you have a server in England, they're going to come down on you there. Right? So
what he said. And he was losing all his payment processors, which is a big problem.
Yes. So, you know, I guess they're in the United States. I don't, you know where anything anymore about that.
I was more wondering if you had any trouble uploading, because if they did move them, if they actually moved the servers, then I'm wondering if that worked out better for you guys.
The videos are going up now. Okay. Now there was a problem a week or two ago, but seems to be okay now.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so Jim, we're going to look forward to your interview with Jeffrey Wernick. I hope it goes well, and I hope he answers some questions and passes all your tests to make sure he's the real deal.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'll try to be nice.
You're not going to spare him at your age, right? You're going to give the whole the whole Monte.
Well, he'll I think he'll enjoy the story. So,
well, he owns the site, so he can just delete the video.
Well, I don't know how that all works, but I know he was the money. He put a lot of money up for the site, so I don't know exactly where all that fits in, you know.
Well, good. Well, I hope it goes well.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
All right, Phil, what are you doing this week? Are you still talking to Gemma, and you've got Lynn or Tell as well?
Yeah, I'm probably thinking that Gemma and Lynn and I will probably do something about the election, because that's what everybody's talking about right now, and for a little bit. But a lot of people, most people know more about it than me. I just kind of have my feelings on it, and basically we're all guessing at this point as what's going to happen next, because we're not in the script room, but we all can agree on one thing: it's all a script and it's all a soap opera. So it continues. And Elon Musk, what's going to happen with this Elon Musk thing is going to be kind of interesting, because this kind of brings in the fake NASA and the fake outer space thing. And so let's see what really happens here. How many people might wake up to the, you know, the Democrats should be waking up to the fake outer space, because they should be pissed off at Elon Musk. And so I would like to see a lot of Democrats saying, hey, you know what? I think that Elon Musk is lying about this Starship thing. That comes back to the ground and lands in the cradle of a crane. And I would like to see them wake up. But again,
I would too.
Don't like to leave the plantation. They don't like to go into conspiracy. They don't want to be seen as a conspiracy theorist. And so it's like, whatever.
All right, guys. Jim Rizzoli on BitChute. Just look up his name. Jim Rizzoli. He's got 6,000 videos online. I'm sure it'll keep you busy. And yeah. Jim, thanks for the donation one more time. And thanks for joining us this week.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks for getting the good mic. You sound great.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's actually makes a huge difference. And Fake Nukes Phil, thanks for joining as well. And we'll see you on all your shows and on Fake Nukes Phil on your BitChute channel.
Thanks.
Okay. Take care.
All right, guys. Have a good week. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We missed one phone call. I didn't see it. I'll have to turn the ringer on. Thanks, everyone, for joining again. If you want to do what Jim did, is pay value for value, pay whatever you think the show is worth, fakeologist.com/donate, or whatever you got out of the show. That's the right way to say it. And thanks, everyone, for joining. And we'll come back tomorrow for the end of the week show on Thursday with Frank, and we'll take your calls. Make sure you call in tomorrow. And if you have any information or you want to just comment on the weeks of it, excuse me, the week's events, feel free. But anyway, thanks for joining in, and see you again. Fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle, to free. Keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.